This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on January 13, 2021. The Memorial of St. Hilary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He who confesses the Son has the Father also.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That first letter, St. John, it speaks of the end of things. Actually speaking prior to, that's chapter 2, he was speaking in other chapters about the transitory nature of the world, that the world changes, it comes and goes. It doesn't matter where things, we like to apply that to bad stuff all the time. It's fleeting, but it also applies to good things. This is an unfortunate proposition for us, but this is a sin curse and fallen world, and whether it be good or bad, things are fleeting. Well, if you start talking about the transitory nature of the world, this leads St. John to present, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some considerations of the end of the world. And one of the considerations that he makes that gives us a heads up to the end of the world is false teaching. False teaching from within and from outside of the church is going to happen, as he refers to it, as the last hour. That term right there, the last hour, the last days, the end times, all of those are used in the New Testament for the times of the New Testament. So when anybody asks you, and I always point out when people ask me, do you think it's the end times? The easiest answer that anybody can have, any question that can be asked of me, you know, the easiest answer. Is it the end time? Yes. Yes, immediately. It is. Because Jesus said it was the end times when he was alive. So we're a lot closer to it than 2,000 years ago. So when we talk about the last hour, we're talking about that time between the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven and his coming again in judgment. That is the end times, the last hour. We're there. So let's just be attentive. And he says during this time of false teaching, he applies a term to false teachers, Antichrist. There are a lot of people who look at Antichrist, and in some places of Scripture go at an individual that is going to be here. Not the discussion for tonight. I say probably, yeah, there probably will be the culmination of an individual who is like the synthesis of all the Antichrists that have ever been there. But it's also a collective term. That St. John says that antichrists, plural, have come into this world. Antichrist, a lot of times that term sounds so dramatic, particularly when you take into consideration, like, you know, that someone who's going to come. Well, again, antichrist, actually in Greek, I mean, it can be translated one who opposes Christ, one who replaces Christ. In the Gospels, St. Matthew, for instance, there are actually a term, the pseudo-Christ, the fake Christ. All of those terms apply to false teaching, opposition to the teachings of the church, replacing Jesus Christ with something else, or to pay attention to a fake Christ. Fake Christ. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, it's a fake Jesus. They talk about you. They're Christians. They talk about Jesus. That's the Arian Jesus, the Jesus who was not the eternal Son of God. They don't say it. Jehovah's Witnesses are actually really upfront about it. They say, that's Arianism. And they say, yes, it is, because Arius was right. As a matter of fact, the saint whose memorial we celebrate today, St. Hilary, doctor of the church, he was called, one of his titles was the Hammer of the Arians. Well, can you imagine if you called somebody in the church that now, you know, the Hammer of Protestants? How uncharitable is that? Oh, woe is us. You know, it's such an aggressive term. Thank God
that we have the history of a church that had men who were the hammers against false teaching. It's the way it should be. We should be that too. Maybe somebody might not call us that, but we should act like it anyway. It's the way we're supposed to be. That's being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, as it said in the gospel tonight. This whole thing about antichrists, people who are not bold about their faith, it was a well-known concept in the early church. Again, here it's used collectively. To put us on guard, to shun, to flee against anybody who would contradict the teachings of Scripture, contradict the traditions of the church. We're living in a day and a time where that goes on a whole lot. It goes on from within the church. It goes on from some very high places in the church. Things pronounced that contradict the Scriptures, that contradict the traditions of our church. We must be very wary. And how do we do that? We just pay attention to ourselves. We know our faith. That is what St. John is talking about, the necessity of doing this. Our concern should ever be with the truth that is presented from the church. St. John here, in this context, he talks about Antichrist. Well, the Antichrist around then, that's going to be the second coming of our Lord. St. John's really not paying attention too much about the second coming of our Lord. He's paying more attention to his concern for the church of his day. Because if the church is prepared for the coming of our Lord, guess what? We don't have to worry about anything when he comes back. So let's not emphasize when Jesus comes back, is to emphasize more us prepared for when Jesus comes back. This is what St. John's concern is about. His concern is about the church of his day. He was in the last times. Thus we are also, and we have to understand that we should be concerned of our church. And where it starts in what we can do about it is right here. You know your faith. And then you gravitate to people of like mind that know their faith, and all will be well. So we have to be very, very cautious of knowing the teachings of our church and then indicating where false teachings, from whence they are emanating. False teaching is an indication of faithlessness. If someone contradicts Scripture, contradicts the traditions of the church, they are indeed faithless. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. That's the end of the day. Well, they just might be mistaken. The Holy Spirit won't allow you to be mistaken about the truths of your faith. Apostasy, those who deviate from the teaching of the church, and just a mere deviation, that's called heterodox. It's a contradiction or a departure from orthodoxy. Apostasy is someone who actually leaves the church. St. John is specifically talking about people who leave the church. I don't think there's a one of us who doesn't have at least a dozen family members, friends who don't attend Mass anymore. That's called apostasy. It is a proof that those who commit it lack the Holy Spirit. I cannot tolerate when I hear people, and it comes from clergy on occasion. So-and-so left the parish. They're going to name your Protestant denomination. Well, wherever they think they might be being fed, that is a bold face out and out lie. They're not being fed there. Okay? They do not have the sacraments from which to be fed. They do not have a priesthood that can absolve them from their sins. So there are up to their eyebrows and their sins, with no hope of absolution or the graces that will prevent temptations in the future. They lack the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never leads to be somewhere where he's not. We have to understand that the Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't contradict himself. When he looks at Peter and says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." But if you come up with your own, you can go there too. There is no such caveat. It is a matter of being a member of Christ's church. So anybody that's a member of Christ's church and goes elsewhere is not living a life consistent with how the Holy Spirit would work. So never fall into that nonsense. The Holy Spirit told me to do this, and it contradicts Scripture. All of the three legs of the stool of the deposit of the faith, Scripture, tradition, the magisterial teaching of the church, they must always be consistent. One can never contradict the other. And there's been some times of pushing it here lately, but it's getting closer and closer to contradiction. You get to hear all these stories about why this is okay and why that's okay, because we know better now about this, that, or the other. Oh, you know better than the Holy Spirit did when he spoke through Scripture. Nice. Very bold. It's not true. Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. He doesn't say, don't do this one day, and then it's okay if you do it this day, because you live in a different time now, and you understand more. No, it's just contradiction of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's all there is to it. This is Antichrist. It is in opposition to the words of our Lord Jesus. St. John goes on after he points out apostasy. He contrasts that with faithfulness. He says, faithful Christians have been anointed by, as he explained, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. Thus you all know what you are supposed to understand. It's kind of interesting to the words he uses. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, thus you all know. The gift of knowledge is a gift of the Holy Spirit. To know the truths of God is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We are led into all truth by the Holy Spirit, such as say St. John in his Gospel, chapter 14 and chapter 16. He talks about what the Holy Spirit does, and that's one of the things he does, is leads us into all truth, because truth leads to union with Jesus Christ. Truth in union with Jesus Christ is the necessity of eternal salvation. Because in union with God's Holy Spirit, true Christians can recognize the truth. You will recognize the truth. That's why I'm getting so many emails and phone calls and texts and being pulled aside on the sidewalk. Because people know the truth and they're hearing things that contradict it. We can only do so much. We can only do so much. That's up to the Holy Spirit. Let him do what he's going to do. What Our Lady said at Fatima, what the Scriptures teach, things are just exactly the way they are supposed to be in our day. Exactly. So as opposed to, I'm losing my faith, we should be saying, my faith has been solidified, because unfortunately, we're living in days where it's all coming true. Fatima, Scripture. It should solidify your faith. You should be happy as all get out. The things are the way they are right now. Doesn't mean we should enjoy them, but we should be happy that the gospel is true. What our Blessed Mother said at Fatima is true. We'll recognize the truth, and we equally will recognize falsehood. Keep recognizing falsehood. It doesn't matter who says the falsehood. It is still falsehood. You can wrap up a really nasty present and a very nice-looking gift wrap, but it's still a nasty present. That's falsehood. Oh, but so-and-so said it. Still false. That's just the reality of things in our day. It's imperative today. You need to know your faith. I don't know how many times I say that, but you know, I get sick and tired hearing that. Well, guess what? You might want to stop coming here, because you're going to hear it all the time. I cannot emphasize it enough. You need to know your faith, because you cannot trust bishops anymore. You cannot trust priests anymore. I'm not calling all of them into question. I'm saying, if then you hear him say something, it's only because he got a collar around his neck or is wearing a purple cassock, that what he's saying is true. There is a hell. There are people in it. More people than are in heaven. because Jesus says so, not because Bishop so-and-so says there might not be. Why do you know that? How can I say something so boldly about a bishop? Because I know the truth. Jesus has said it. This is the bottom line. If Jesus says it, you embrace it. That's the truth. That's why you need to know the deposit of your faith. Because as soon as you hear something different, you need to flee. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.